thankful for the opportunity to be able to speak for him this morning and to share just what God's put on our heart, a little bit about our family, some of our testimony, and to help in the continuing of the series, Family Feud. You know, I see at the bottom, family is worth fighting for. And that certainly is true. I don't believe there's any greater statement. I don't think there's anything truer that could be said this morning than family is worth fighting for. And so we're going to talk about that this morning. Hopefully, I can give you some little tidbits that you can apply to your life that will help in your family and in your family dynamics. And so we're going to ask the Lord to help us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for today. God, this morning we just pray that you would, Lord, just calm our hearts. God, that you would open us for what you have for us. God, we're broken people. God, we come from broken relationships, broken hearts. Lord, this morning we need the bread of life. God, we need to be fed this morning from your word. And so we pray, God, that you would meet your people. God, we pray that you would feed us from your word. And we'll thank you and praise you in Christ's name. Amen. I listened to the podcast from last week, Don't Give Up Before They Grow Up. And a tremendous message from Pastor David last week. And I wanted to continue with the Family Feud theme this morning, and as it would have it, I didn't get any slides or anything to be able to put up this morning, but I couldn't have chosen one for what we're going to talk about this morning. I couldn't have chosen one that was any better than family is worth fighting for. But when I think about the game of Family Feud, one of my favorite times is when they introduce the families. When they introduce the families, and kind of like this morning, it must be one of the things when you sign up that your name just has to be a little different. You know, it's like they never introduce the Jones family, you know. And so this morning we're going to introduce a family. The title of our message this morning is Meet the Best Family. Meet the Best Family. In fact, speaking of the best family, no, I'm just kidding. Well, they are, but that's not our name. They are, but that's not our name. By the way, I'm thankful for the donuts this morning. I think we went through 36 just with our family. I am thankful to have my family with us. We also are house parents for 4 international exchange students, and so we're thankful for them being able to be with us this morning. If you would take your Bibles and turn to Psalm chapter 127. Psalm chapter 127 this morning. As we jump into God's word, meet the best family. Psalm chapter 127 this morning. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. You see, I believe this morning that one of the greatest tragedies in our culture, one of the greatest tragedies in our culture today is that we spend so much time building our house. We spend so much time building relationships. We spend so much time building relationships that in turn build a family, only to watch them fall apart. I believe one of the greatest tragedies in our culture today is that we spend so much time investing in relationships and investing in family only to watch them fall apart. This morning, I want to give you 3 things. 3 things that help us keep our families together. 3 things to help us keep our families together. You see, family is worth fighting for. First of all, this morning, Be your best. Be your best. You know, from a young age, we teach our children to obey. From a young age, we teach our children to obey. We even try and teach our animals to obey. You know, we have a golden doodle, and we try and teach her. We teach her tricks. We give her snacks. You know, we give her little things. Sit, lay down, roll over. Obedience is a huge thing in our culture. We try and teach our kids from a young age to obey. Say please. Put your clothes away. Clean up your room. So many things that we teach our children deals with obedience. But here's what I believe. I believe we get to a point in life where we kind of feel like we age out of the necessity of obedience. We get to a point where we age out of the necessity to obey God's word. We spend so much time teaching our kids to obey our word as parents. But there comes a time in our life when we are faced with choices and we're faced with decisions, and we throw our obedience to God's word out the window and we just do what we want to do. We have to be our best. We have to be our best. You see, what we're telling our kids when we send them off with other families, you know, the first time that your child goes on vacation with another family, the first time that they get in someone else's car and they're going to dinner with another family, the last thing you do is you reach around, you grab their ear, you twist it, and you say, "You better behave. You better behave. You better be on your best behavior." You know what we're really telling them? We're telling them, choose obedience. Choose obedience. We don't say it that way. We say it, "You better behave. Please, please be on your best behavior." Some of you might have had that conversation when you came into church this morning. As you're walking in the door, you're smiling and waving, and you've got that little bit of back pinch back there, and you're like, "You better behave this morning, or I am going to tear you up when we get out of here." You know, we teach them obedience. We teach them to choose rightly. I would contend with you this morning that your family depends on your obedience. Your family depends on your obedience. We have 6 teenagers at home for 1 more month, then 4 fly off. But for the last 10 months, we've had 6 teenagers at home. Can I tell you this morning that our family, our household revolves around obedience? Yours does as well. Your family revolves around obedience. It takes everyone making the right choice to have everything work as it should. Because when one person decides that they're going to make the wrong choice, when one person decides that they're going to exercise a little selfishness, everything gets out of kilter and we have to go back and start over. Your family depends on your obedience. Your spouse depends on your obedience. Mom and dad, your marriage is dependent on your obedience. Mom and dad, your marriage is dependent on your obedience. Your spouse depends on your obedience. Your children depend on your obedience. Grandma, grandpa, your grandchildren are dependent on your obedience. See, your family is dependent upon your obedience to God's word. Because when we begin to make choices that are against God's word, we begin to lose sight of the relationships that we've invested in. We begin to lose grasp of the family that we've invested in. And we begin to give up the fight for our family. Your family depends on your obedience. Number 2, your future depends on your obedience. The future depends on your obedience. You say, man, what do you mean? In Luke chapter 5, we read the story of Jesus preaching, and it says that the crowd was pressing against him so much that he saw two boats, and he got in Simon Peter's boat, and he asked Peter to push him off of shore. And when they were finished, he called to Simon Peter, and he said, push us out a little deeper, let's go fishing. You know Peter's response, Lord, we have fished all night long. In fact, when Jesus was coming, they were out of their boats. They were washing their nets. They were cleaning everything up. And if you've spent a day of fishing, you know putting everything back together is a chore. And that's where Simon Peter was. They were all putting stuff away. They were washing their nets. They were getting ready to go home maybe. And here comes Jesus, and he sits in Simon's boat, and he says, push us out a little bit. And he sits down, he teaches, and when he's done, he tells Simon, he says, let's go out a little farther and let's go fishing. Let your nets down on this side of the boat. And he says, but master, we have done this all night. We haven't caught a thing. But because you say so, we will. But because you are Jesus. But because you are the master, but because you are all-knowing, but because you are God, we will. And the rewards came in. They get back to shore, and it says that he called to them and said, they will now be fishers of men, and they left everything and followed Jesus. Here's the point this morning. You are who you are today spiritually, in part because those men in the boat got out and followed Jesus. They were obedient. You see, they had no idea a couple thousand years ago that their obedience to Christ on the shore of Lake Genesaret that afternoon would have impact in Raleigh, North Carolina. But we are who we are spiritually in part today because of their faith and their obedience to preach the word of God, to follow Jesus Christ. You see, mom, you see, dad, your obedience today is generational. Your obedience today is generational. Your children. Your children are impacted by your obedience. Your grandchildren are impacted by your obedience. Your great-grandchildren are impacted by your obedience. Be your best. Our family has had a point in time where we had to make that choice. We got to a point where family wasn't worth fighting for. Now, that wasn't our heart, but that was our actions. Some of you know our testimony. I'll share just a little bit this morning. But it culminates in us coming to a point where we had to choose if we were going to be obedient to God. You see, my wife and I, we were married in college. We graduated from college. We accepted a youth pastor's position in Randolph County. We had two children. I was working. My wife was staying at home with our two children. And you know what happened? We just began to have different ideas. I was at work building a spiritual kingdom, but I would come home to a starving ministry. And after time, the choices that we would make, her at home and me at work, they began to take us apart. And for seven and a half years, those choices led to separation and divorce. And many of you know that of our testimony. But you know what I'm thankful of? I'm thankful this morning that we serve a God that redeems, that we serve a God that restores, that we serve a God that says, you're never too far gone to choose obedience. You're never too far gone to choose obedience. You know what? We came to a point in our life where we had said no, 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 but God was saying yes, 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 yes. And we came to a point in our life where we said, this is going to be generational. Our children need to see us be obedient. Our grandchildren will need to know that we were obedient. Our great-grandchildren will need to know that we were obedient. You know why? Because family is worth fighting for. One of the greatest tragedies in our culture is we spend so much time investing only to watch them break. Be your best. Just choose obedience. Not only be your best, but give your best. Not only be your best, but give your best. We look in Galatians chapter 5 and we see all the fruits of the Spirit. And I would ask you this morning, how many times does your family see those things manifested in your life? How many times does your family see those manifested in your life? Your family deserves the best you. Your family deserves the best you. In our previous ministry, I had the opportunity to travel to Jamaica 8 or 9 times. And we would go down and we would do missions work and we would work in churches and we would work in villages and we would be in public schools. And I remember this one trip that we went to. That it was the only time that we went in the 8 or 9 years that I've been down there. Was the only time that we took this trip. And in fact, our bus driver had never been there before. But one day we had the idea that we wanted to go to the city dump of Montego Bay. We had heard stories about what would take place there. And we had heard stories about just how devastating it is. But it was one of those places that unless you live there, you don't go there. But we had asked around and we had directions and finally we talked our driver into taking our group to the city dump. When you drive in the gate, they have a guard shack there and they make you put all of your phones away. No pictures allowed. And we drove this winding road up through some sort of a landfill, but it really was just garbage heaped upon garbage heaped upon garbage. And we get to the very top, and there's a garbage truck. There's a line of garbage trucks. And there's a group of people. There's a large group of people that are standing, and they're standing under these garbage trucks. And as the garbage is coming out of the truck like a dump truck, as it's dumping this garbage, these people are standing under this dumping garbage trying to find some type of scrap, trying to find something that would be beneficial for them that day. It was incredible in the worst way possible. But can I tell you this morning how many times that our family has to pilfer through the things that we bring home just to find something good. You see, this morning, our family depends on our obedience. They depend on the best you, but they also deserve the best you. They deserve the very best that you have. Your coworkers shouldn't be getting more than your family gets. Ma'am, your husband shouldn't get less than your coworkers get. Sir, your coworkers, you, the people that you hang out with at the gym, they shouldn't get better than your wife gets. Mom and dad, your children shouldn't get the leftovers after a hard day work. Hey, we're all in it. We know. but your children shouldn't get what's left over after everybody else has taken everything else from you. It's leftovers, and we wonder why our families struggle. It's because we're living on emotional leftovers. Your family deserves the best you. They deserve the best. I saw this somewhere. I thought it was interesting. Negative vibe equals trouble in the tribe. Negative vibe equals trouble in the tribe. And how true that is. How true that is. You know, it's easy to come home and just dump on family. And I'm thankful for a wife that we can be together and we can share struggles throughout the day and sometimes frustrations, a lot of times frustrations and hard times. And man, I just had trouble with this person today, or I just had trouble with that person today. But you know what? Even after all of that, we still try and give our best. We still try and give our best, because if we just leave it at that, we're just giving scraps. We're just given leftovers. And can I tell you this morning that families don't survive on leftovers. They don't survive on leftovers. Lastly this morning, be your best. Give your best. Love your best. Love your best. We look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says, but above all of these, choose charity, for charity covereth a multitude of sins. Charity covereth a multitude of sins. Your family desires your love. Your family desires your love. It's kind of like when you come home after work. I mentioned that we have a little dog, and she's about 50 pounds. But when we open the door every day, it's like you don't want to be second in line. Because if you're the first one to open the door when we get home from school, if you're the first one to open the door, you can open it and jump in the house while she's running out of the house. But if you're second in line, you're getting ready to get nailed. And she's like a bowling ball going down the stairs. But she will come and find you. And she will jump, and she will jump, and she will jump, and she will knock into you until you just take time to show her some attention. Mom and Dad, can I tell you this morning how many kids I deal with that are running around, jumping, just trying to find some attention. Just trying to find some attention. Because I believe at home, we get so busy in work, we get so busy in ball, we get so busy with the chores of the house that oftentimes we forget just to love. We forget just to love. Your family desires your love. They desire your unconditional love. They desire a forgiving love. They desire an understanding love. They desire an edifying love. They desire a 1 Peter 4:8 sin covering love. Hey, let's be honest. We know that we're broken people. We know that we're not perfect. We know that we're going to mess up. We know that our kids are not always going to make the right choice. But what they need to know is that you're the first person that they can come to because you have an unconditional love for them. We sat our kids down and we said, We want the relationship with you that when you mess up, we don't want to be the family where you have to say, oh no, my dad's going to kill me. We want to be the family where you say, I've got to call my dad. I've messed up. I've got to call my mom. I've got to call my dad. You know what? Your family desires your love. A 1 Peter 4:8 love. Above everything else, that you're investing in, above everything else that you're pouring into, show love. It covers a multitude of sins. And can I tell you this morning that when we begin to love our family as Christ loved the church, when we begin to love our family with an unconditional love, when we begin to love our families, our spouses, with an edifying love, when we begin to encourage rather than tear down, when we continue to cover, not excuse, but forgive, things that might not always go right, then our families begin to take shape. And they get stronger. And they grow taller. And then our obedience becomes a little easier. And our giving our best becomes a little easier. Why? Because we're giving the love that our family deserves, just as Christ loved the church. When we go back to Psalm 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. My desire for you this morning is to be able to take things that you can put into your marriage relationship, that you can put into your family relationship, that you can put into the relationship for your kids, so that you don't look back one day and say, man, it was all in vain. Where did it go? Half my life and it's gone. But that we can build families and relationships that teach obedience and that give our best and that love unconditionally. Because your family is worth fighting for. Hey, can I tell you this morning that it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've been through or the choices or the decisions that you've made. One day, we're working on a website that'll tell our story, Wrecked to Restored. And one day, you'll be able to read that and you won't read anything glamorous. What you'll read is a story of choices. A story of choices. But I'm thankful that at the end of the story, that we would be able to recognize that we serve a God that redeems and restores and revives. If we'll choose Him. You see, it doesn't matter where you're at, where you've been, what's happened in the past. What matters is we are here right now and decisions are made. What about you this morning? Dad, what is your relationship with your family like? Do they get the best of you? Do they see your obedience? Are you patterning spiritual and biblical obedience for your wife and for your kids? Do they see that? Mom, what do your kids get after a hard day at work? Do they get your best? Or is your family pilfering through leftovers to survive. They need the best you. They need the best you. Mom and dad, grandma, grandpa, do your kids, do your grandkids, do they know that you love them unconditionally? That you love them with a 1 Peter 4:8 kind of love that covers, not excuses, but covers a multitude of sins. Jesus Christ loves us unconditionally with a love that covers all of our sins. He doesn't excuse it, but he covers it. And he says we need the exact same thing in our families. Let's look at some application this morning. Everything we've talked about this morning is relational. Not only is it relational, but it's choices. They're choices. You make the choice to be obedient. We make the choice to be our best. Your child makes the choice to be on their best behavior. When we look at the principles from God's Word, we then make a choice of what we're going to do with it. Can I ask you this morning, mom, dad, grandma, grandpa, teenager, can I ask you this morning, what choices are you making with the principles from God's Word? What pattern are you setting for those that are following after you, for generations to come in your family? What choices are you making that sets the example for the long haul? Secondly, this morning, I don't know where you are. I don't know your family dynamics. I don't know your marriage situations. But this I do know. I do know 100% that we cannot day after day after day after day feed our family emotional leftovers, emotional scraps, and expect survival at the very best. We can't do it. We can't do it. Our family needs our very best. They deserve our very best. They are the one relationship that we pour into day after day after day after day. Jesus Christ was God the Father's very best. You want a strong family. You want a strong marriage. Give each other your best. And lastly, this morning, some of us just need to love on our family. Some of us just need to love on our family. Saying I love you and throwing a kiss as you walk out the door, and it doesn't get it. It doesn't cut it. Because the world is going to offer them so much more. Dad, you need to love on your family. Dad, if you're going to set the example for spiritual obedience, you need to love on your wife. Mom, if you're going to set the biblical and godly example, you need to love on your husband. You need to love on your kids. You need to set the right example. I contend with you this morning that through thick and thin, through everything that has taken place, through all the choices that have been made from beginning to end, no matter where you are on the spectrum this morning, that your family is worth the fight. It's worth the fight. You say, man, you have no idea. You don't know what's been said. You don't know where we've been. You have no idea. Can I tell you this morning that I do? Can I tell you this morning that I do? And can I also tell you this morning that at the end of the story, I'm thankful that we said we do obey you, God, because we believe that you restore, that you redeem, and that you revive. What about you this morning? In just a minute, the invitation is going to start, and maybe this is a place for you to come and make some commitments. Maybe this is a place, husband, for you to take your wife and to come down and pray and begin to love and give your best. Maybe this is a place for you, mom or dad, to grab the hand of your young person and bring them down and pray to commit to continue or to start setting a path of obedience. Maybe this is a place for you to come and pray and just ask God to show you a biblical 1 Peter 4:8 kind of love for your family. Pray this morning. Thank you, Lord, for who you are. God, we're broken people, broken dreams, broken hearts, broken families. But God, above all, we serve a God that redeems, that restores, that revives. And so, Lord, this morning, I pray that you just work in our hearts. That we would be open to being our best, to giving our best, to loving our best. Just like the Lord Jesus Christ.